1974, the world was gifted via Eurovision with the most iconic act it has ever and will ever likely produce outside of Conchita Wurst. This band that won the 1974 Eurovision contest has now produced two, count them, two musicals, one of which is more well-known and one of which is less well-known, especially in the States. The less well-known one that we'll not be talking about today is actually one of Josh Groban and Idina Menzel's favorite musicals. Josh has actually talked about this, trying to get it more, trying to get more people in the States to watch it. But we're not talking about Chess today, we're talking about Mamma Mia. Specifically, we're talking about the movie Mamma Mia, not the stage musical Mamma Mia. But it's all pretty much the same good time. Hello, Magnus!
Hello! I've got ABBA songs playing in my head as we speak.
That's good, because that's the whole point. So the movie musical and the stage musical for Mamma Mia are both what's known as a jukebox musical, much like Viva Forever was a showcase of Spice Girls songs that they probably legally couldn't say were Spice Girls songs, or if you've seen Jersey Boys, if you've seen American Idiot, if you've seen Carole King's Beautiful, Waitress is not, but I kind of feel like Waitress is, it's all Sarah Bareilles. Basically, jukebox musical is an ode to one particular group, and Mamma Mia as a pop group has been around since actually 1972, when they became ABBA officially after the marriages. And so in 1999, Mamma Mia, the musical, the stage musical, showed up at the West End and everybody went insane. And then in 2008, they made a movie out of it in which a lot of people got drunk backstage while in Greece. And that is the thing. That is one of the things for me that is the iconography of this movie, is the idea that people had a lot of fun. And when I don't think of this, I don't think of this movie as a movie about camp. I think of this as a movie about the idea of summer fun, like on the beach, getaway, vacation. It's very like go-go for me kind of thing.
Oh, yes, definitely. Thinking about it, there's very much sort of a party celebrationary vibe throughout a great deal of this film, rather than over at camp. There's a good amount of camp. I mean, the main three actress trio certainly bring a lot of that to the stage, especially when they have that dream sequence on the yacht as they're seeing their hearts out from that was Money Money, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
But then you've got all the boys everywhere dancing and showing off to Sophie and such, and then that wonderful scene of Does Your Mama Know, down at the juice bar on the shoreline, I think it is.
At the bar on the shoreline the morning after the party gone wrong. I really like Does Your Mother Know in this context too, because having an older woman sing it to a younger man is much different, because on stage when ABBA sing it's one of the male lead songs, which is a little weird. I think Does Your Mother Know works better in context of a woman singing to a younger man, especially Christine Baranski, who most people that aren't theater people probably think of her as the sexy woman from the live action Grinch movie, because she plays Martha May Huvier's foil and the one the Grinch is in love with secretly, or not so secretly. But Christine Baranski is a pretty well-known Broadway actress, which was part of why she was probably brought into the cast. I don't think about this movie, I know that people have called it camp. I don't think of it as camp, because I feel like it's just slightly too realistic. It does have dream sequences, but for me, I just consider this a fantasy movie. I also think they market it more fantasy than camp, except for like the ending epilogue dream sequence, where they do the credits while they sing. For me, it's more... It's just a little too realistic. It doesn't push the boat out in like that Pee Wee Herman sort of way. I just think of it more as like a dream sequence. I think that's how they marketed it here in America, because when this movie came out, they marketed it as a thing you could go to see where it was like a mother-daughter event where they would do sing-alongs, And so it was marketed more as like this dream fantasy afternoon getaway than it was necessarily, like Tommy is more camp for me than Mamma Mia is, in some ways. It's not bad. I just don't consider it camp myself.
Over here, I recall because I went and saw this whilst I was at uni, and I was quite blown away because I hadn't actually seen the stage play. I knew nothing about it. I remember absolutely loving it. It was sort of like the perfect summer flick to go and watch. In terms of marketing, I think there's more of a reliance over here on marketing musical theater films as musicals. They don't really market it as like girl power flick, or although that there wasn't quite a nice element of like strong female friendship and girl power within this movie, but it was definitely came across as just like a proper fun musical film. I can certainly see why they might have done it and tweaked it in a slightly different way for an audience across the pond, so to speak.
I will say this too, this film especially has the honor of being, especially at its time, it may not be anymore, but it was the highest sold DVD home video release in the UK in 2008. Now that may not be that way now. Something else may have outsold it, but it outsold everything in the UK. Y'all just kind of really fell in love with it. Actually, it got better reception in the UK than it did even in Sweden, apparently, which is kind of interesting. I love the album too. I do wish they had gotten Thank You for the Music into the movie because it's the secret track on the album, and I think it's kind of amazing, personally.
I think they played it on the credits when it was over here.
Oh.
It was not actually in the movie, but I seem to recall hearing it in the credits as I sat in the theater watching it.
Well,
But
we were all drunk in America on champagne and mimosas at that point. So by the time the credits roll around, we're all properly wasted while watching this.
sorry, I'm just reminiscing about it now. It's just one of those sheer fun films that comes out every once in a while. It's not taking itself seriously. You're right that it does feel like the actors are really in on it, having a blast filming this. I would have loved to have got a bit of like insight from actually the actors to see what they thought of the whole experience. Because this is quite an ensemble cast as well that they pulled together.
It's a big ensemble cast because you've got the main cast, you got supporting cast, but also the members of ABBA make cameo appearances. Famously, the Dancing Queen piano player, two of the Greek gods, and Agnes is also one of the members of ABBA. But like Philip Michael, who is Guy's best man and who likes Tanya, is a supporting cast. Basically, everybody that's at the dinner when they sing Here's to Us, I think is the name of the song. Let me see the soundtrack here. Some of the songs I can't remember, but I have to look at the soundtrack. So when all is said and done, what they're sitting down to have their magical dinner at the end of the movie, all of that is main and ensemble supporting cast. It's a big production. I don't know what it looks like to do on stage. I can imagine it's probably not quite as big on stage because that would be a lot of people to fit onto a stage. So.
I would say that this was probably one of the more successful musical theater to film adaptions I've actually seen.
I agree with that. The one ding I have about it is they did hire a whole bunch of people that couldn't sing, and God bless Pierce Brosnan. God
I
bless
was
him
waiting
from
for
the
this.
bottom of my cold, dead heart. But I know he wanted so badly to be a lead in this film, and he tried so hard. And in interviews, he always talks about, well, I was trying to channel Tom Waits, and it's very romantic, and I had family that had this name, so I felt called to the role. And that's great. Pierce, you couldn't sing. I mean, you were fine as 007, but there is a limit to the fantasy. It was especially like during SOS. It's very difficult to like hear
Yeah.
him against Meryl Streep, who has opera training. And so it was no mistake that she was cast. And also, this isn't the first movie she'd sang in, so people were comfortable with her singing.
Yeah, it was a bit of a sh okay, not a shock, mild shock. It was a slightly mild shock the f when he started singing it, and I thought, oh, good Lord, what on earth is this? But you're right. Yeah, I mean, he did try his best, bless him.
Tried his best.
So I don't know. I presume that they were going with more. They wanted recognizable faces in order to sell the
Yeah.
film, as opposed to Broadway stars.
I think especially in America, if they had cast anyone less recognizable than
Yeah.
Pierce Brosnan, it would have been a hard sell. Because I because in 99 it came to the West End, I think. It didn't start in America, and so there was not really much familiarity with Mamma Mia except for people that were doing Broadway and West End. Yeah, because at the turn of the century we were all doing Rent in America, at that point. Like we were all getting real into indie and grungy stuff, so I don't know that Mamma Mia would have played without Pierce Brosnan, I don't think.
Here's the question for you. I'm not aware of this, so that's why I'm asking to sort of get some clarity from you about it.
Yeah.
How well regarded and well known are ABBA in the States? Because they're a fairly big household name over here.
They were, so Waterloo, which is the song that won them Eurovision.
Yeah.
They actually, they're one of the few bands, and they talk about this on the ABBA website as part of their story. No Eurovision had band had ever been big in America before ABBA. And so they were fairly big, but it was fairly big in like they had to tour and prove that they were a pop group here in America.
Right.
So like the sophomore slump they had with their first album, and people thinking they'd be one hit wonders. They had the same problem in America that they had in Europe, but people loved their music. But in America, Broadway goes in like waves, where it's like a 20-year cycle of stuff that's well known, and then at like the beginning and end of the 20-year cycle, new stuff gets produced. So in '99, when Mamma Mia was coming to the West End, I'm pretty sure '99 was when Rent was coming out of previews, and so we were going into the next phase of Broadway. And so Mamma Mia doesn't quite fit in until we start doing Lion King after that. It's not bad. It also in America, when they did billboards for Mamma Mia, it looked a lot like Muriel's Wedding to me. It looked a lot like the promos from Muriel's Wedding, the film. And so I didn't connect with
Interesting.
Mamma Mia right away because I was like, well, I've seen this. It's Muriel's Wedding. I don't need to see it in a musical. It's fine. Also, like over here, as far as I'm aware, Colin Firth was someone I was aware of because I'd enjoyed him in other films. He plays straight and gay characters, but like Stellan Skarsgård, Dominic Cooper, Julie Waters. I'm not sure if she'd been in anything I'd seen up until that point. So I think it's an interesting thing because it feels very British almost to me, except for Pierce and Meryl. Dominic Cooper hadn't played Preacher yet, so he wasn't really big on screen. Amanda Seyfried, we'd only really seen in Mean Girls at that point, so I had no idea she could sing. And then she released a fabulous single version of Man After Midnight for this movie specifically. Yeah, but like, I don't think anything Julie Waters had done came over across the pond before Mamma Mia. She was in Billy Elliot, but again, Billy Elliot is a is
That's
sort of British thing transplanted to America, and it
so
doesn't always
British.
work. Yeah.
So British.
Yes.
No, I know what you mean. Dominic Cooper, I'd only really seen him in the History Boys before this. So that was a slight pleasant surprise to see him pop up in
He is a fabulous stage actor. He did, there is this really great kind of, it's not an ancient play, but it's a really old play where it's a stepmom in love with like the stepson who's marrying into the family or something.
Oh.
And he played an amazing character that's have this having this woman like bear down on him. And I think he did it opposite Helen Mirren when he did it. And he was really young in it. But I remember reading about it and seeing clips of him doing it, and I was just astonished by him. Again, I didn't know he could sing, but also Skye does not have the biggest role in this movie. So if he couldn't sing, you wouldn't have missed much. But I'm really glad Dominic Cooper has made definitely a career for himself. But yeah, this was really his kind of first big breakout role outside of theater. Also,
Yes.
Juan Pablo de Pace is in this, which is fun. He plays the guy that Harry gets a crush on, that helps Harry to realize that he's gay. And so Juan Pablo de Pace, who was in Dallas, and then is in the Full House spinoff. I'm just amused that he started his career in Mamma Mia. So, yeah.
Well, that's great. That it's one of those films that you come back to and then you realize that certain people were in it that you don't recall, or you're reading about some actor's career and then you, like, as you're looking through their credits list, then you're like, oh, I didn't realize, or I didn't remember that they were in this as well. It's one of those great little things.
Yeah.
I occasionally come across, it's a little weird habit of mine. I tend to go on a little trip, like reading up about, you know, what someone's done in the past or what they're planning to do. And then I noticed their whole repertoire of previous productions. And it's like, oh, that's interesting. I'll check that out at some point. Da da da. Which is fun.
Also find Mamma Mia is a good movie for people that want to understand the interplay between music and beats, because a lot of this movie takes place on what in one location on an island, and there's different parts of the location to go to. But
Yes.
for someone studying how to do a film musical or how to do a transition, what physical beats versus emotional beats look like, all the songs are very emotional. Even when they don't move, Slipping Through My Fingers is a great one if you're looking to see how emotional beats work. Our Last Summer is a really great emotional beat song, but then you have like Honey, Honey, Money, 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 Chiquitita, Dancing Queen, Lay All Your Love on Me. Those are all more physical, but they all work together because not just because they're all Mamma Mia songs, but because you can tell how they move not just the story, but the locations forward. In some ways, film musicals are more obvious about this because people give that break because it's escapism.
Yes.
But Mamma Mia does a really great job in knowing not just its audience, but kind of the emotions of the audience. This is not the most complicated story in the world. Mamma Mia is about a
No,
girl who doesn't know who her dad is, and there's three possible candidates. And they all get dragged to an island. And if it was a horror movie, everybody would get murdered. But it's not. So everybody's fine. And at the end, Donna ends up with Pierce Brosnan because one of them is gay and the other one is destined to be with Julie Waters. And that's fine. I think any hate this movie earns outside of the fact that Pierce Brosnan can't sing is probably due to misogyny here in America, or it's just the fact that people really want movies to be, it's the same thing Batman has as an issue where people want it to be like so gritty and so Christian Bale because that's what they remember. But like, this is a fun, playful movie. It is more feminine. Even the masculine characters are slightly more feminine. They're like, they're essentially on vacation from machismo. And it's just got a lot of warm tones, and it has a lot of really great lens flares because they get a lot of like outdoor time. Does Your Mother Know is a great anthem, and it's great to see a older woman singing it because
Yes.
I think there's a lot in that subversion That is really cool. Also, there's a reference to Aphrodite's fountain, which is an excuse to get everyone like wet and make them all take their shirts off, and that's fun. It's really fun. This is another one of those movies where, it's not going to like be a groundbreaking thing, but it's going to be fun. And it was marketed as such. It wasn't marketed to be groundbreaking. It was marketed as a,
Oh no.
hey, it's almost Mother's Day, or it's after Mother's Day. Take your mom to see this movie. Come and do the sing along. You like ABBA? We like ABBA. Everybody likes ABBA.
Well, exactly. Like the posters over here were all about like the main cast, like dancing on the cover or having a great time, etc. I don't think the advertising ever gave the impression that this was going to be a particularly narratively complex or like gritty
Yeah.
drama. I suppose one could say, like, another, as you say, alongside the Pierce Brosnan singing, a criticism that could be leveled at this film is it's very sitcom-y in its sort of like convoluted plot of how people are not talking to each other, or they're not just having a sit down and a conversation, and the daughter's not just saying to her mum, I've decided to try and find out who my birth father is so that I can have my dad at my wedding.
I like
It's
that
not straightforward like that.
as a criticism, as though that's what people everywhere do. Because if we actually did that as a society, we wouldn't have the AITA Reddit where people ask if they've made the wrong decision in life. Like, we don't talk to each other in the real world. So most of the posters for Mamma Mia, the film here in America are probably the same ones you got. You've got the dancing cover. There is a cover with Donna blocking the three men from getting into the villa. There is a really great movie poster with Sophie, Amanda Seyfried's character, in her wedding dress, and they've kind of focused on the blue door and the blue and white of Greece. But mostly it's the dancing. If you're looking at a poster with a brunette in a wedding dress and it's all white, that is the stage version. But anytime you're looking at like a Donna and the Dynamos thing, that's mostly film people. Because I don't think Donna and the Dynamos are as big a deal in the. I feel like on stage they wouldn't be as big as a deal as they were. They were kind of big in the movie. They made them seem much larger than life, which I really loved, actually. I loved the Donna and the Dynamo sequence. Not gonna lie.
It was almost as if it was like a narrative surrogate for ABBA themselves, you know, like larger than life, a fun band, and they're just like embracing their music and like belting it out and such.
Yeah.
I want to touch upon a point you made before about the men in the film. Because whilst there is definitely a masculine energy to a lot of the cast, like with the mate, with the three possible dads and Dominic, this character of Skye, it never feels like it's an overwhelming or overbearing masculine energy to me. Like Skye's got his bachelor party and everything, but so does Sophie have her bachelorette party, and like it never feels like either of them are sort of like a lesser to the other.
Yeah.
If anything, like the scene where the girls go wild on the prowl for men and the men are
Yes.
hiding actually made me smirk slightly, which
What's
is
great is that
fantastic.
most of his bachelor party are there for the tail end of Lay All Your Love on Me and then at the bachelorette party, but then they mostly disappear until the morning after and then they're gone. Like, they don't come to the wedding at all. The wedding's in too small a chapel for the amount of people that were at that bachelorette party.
Oh, they're just going to be at the reception afterwards.
Yes. What's interesting about the men of the movie is that not only are the women more dominant, but the men are highly creative. Even Colin Firth, who plays Harry Brett, who's kind of a banker and who's kind of the safe, soft option, he dreams of being like Stellan Skarsgård, Bill, who was a Swedish sailor and travel writer. Even Pierce Brosnan as an American architect is very creative, and he connects with Sophie because of that creativity. There's something very vacation about this because, even a macho guy that has a macho job, like even a metalhead could envision themselves in this universe because the men are creative and you can really kind of imprint yourself on one of them because everybody gets lost, everybody wants to run away. Every man has, a secret crush they loved that let them down. It's an interesting thing to think. I cannot help but think that this rom-com was written by Katherine Johnson and directed by Phyllida Lloyd. So there's, women really at the helm of this, and even in ABBA, even though two men technically do tend to write the songs, they sing with their wives or their ex-wives because even after they split up, they still sing together. It's kind of like Fleetwood Mac, where there's male members, but when you think of Fleetwood Mac, you really just think of Stevie Nicks, to be perfectly honest. Yeah, there's something about, maybe it's also the fact that it's like beachy and they spend most of the movie like half out of their shirts or not in their shirts at all. There's something very vulnerable, something very like something about the sun being there. There are interior spaces in the film, but we spend most of Mamma Mia outdoors. We spend most of it in the daytime, except for when you definitely need to be in the night. Even in the courtyard of the villa, except for Dancing Queen and the Goat House, everything that happens in this movie that is really important, except for the proposal, takes place outdoors. You're just surrounded by nature, essentially, and sand and alcohol, which is kind of nature. Nature does help make alcohol. It's kind of nature.
It almost feels like a Dionysi style party.
Yes, except there's no drag, which is something Dionysus is known
Oh.
for. But details, details. Yeah.
I'd argue one small little point again with the men is it's interesting to see how what a quick and easy camaraderie they develop amongst themselves. There's no sort of like conflict or like rivalry and such. It's more like, oh, we've been pushed into this situation together by this wild antics of this girl, and you know what? We're just gonna m make the most of it, sort of thing.
I like that as well. They don't really fight about it. They decide
No.
individually that they're willing to step up to be Sophie's dad, which does lead, of course, to the great moment of the bachelorette party where she faints from the anxiety of the trouble she has caused herself. Something
Oh,
I
woe is
really,
me.
what was me? Yes, I have too many good things and everyone's dancing and celebrating me. One of the things I like about Mamma Mia, specifically in this time, because now the Barbie movie is out, is that when Mamma Mia came out, it was paired against The Dark Knight, which was really the first very gritty dark Batman film. And so, like with Barbie and Oppenheimer, it feels very Mamma Mia and The Dark Knight all over again, which a lot of people are very happy to point out.
Or as some people quoted, the Dark Mama.
Yes, something like
I
that. Yeah.
mean, I actually don't mind that at all. I think again, it's a sense of camaraderie. Why on earth do we need to pit these movies in a Marvel versus DC, Coke versus Pepsi style rivalry? People can go enjoy a bit of like bubbly campness and then go enjoy a bit more of a serious historical fiction drama. You
Well,
should be
and I,
allowed to enjoy
yeah.
both.
And I would argue something like The Dark Knight is camp in its own way. It's kind of camp in the same way that it's kind of camp in the same way that drag kings are camp, where they're doing things with masculinity. There's something very drag about Batman to begin with. It's just, masked man drag as opposed to femme drag. To me. That's what I think.
Well, the Joker always goes on about how obsessed Batman is with him. There's a whole established subtext between them, so you know.
I also do in Mamma Mia, I love the set design. Honey, Honey as a song is really good if you don't deep dive too much into the lyrics of what Sophie's singing about. But there's the great sequence in Honey, Honey where the three girls have been reunited, and we're going to see that again with Tanya, Rosie, and Donna. But we see it first with Sophie, Allie, and Lisa, and they sing Honey, Honey, and they frolic back up to the house. And then the way they set up the front of this house so that the two girls that are her best friends and her backup, her Tanya and Rosie, they end up disappearing behind windows while she comes out on a balcony.
Yes.
And I think that's just poetry right there. Like, if I ever have to do the dream sequence song musical in my real life, I would want that Honey, Honey choreography at the end. Not thinking too much about what she's singing about exactly, or the fact that she breached her mother's trust by taking her diary. But that's a very small, it's a very small thing. It's a very like youthful thing that she does. There's something very young about the film. It feels very nice. Even when characters are like bitter and angry at each other, it doesn't break the feeling of niceness and the feeling of vacation. And I really like that. I think it's important to have movies that allow you escapism. And I think we kind of forget that in looking at the idea of indie versus big blockbuster. Like, you can still do an indie that is about escapism. Like the Escape from Tomorrow movie, which was the guerrilla movie that was shot at Disneyland, that the guy never made a lot of money from, because a lot of people just didn't connect with it. But Mamma Mia is kind of the case for both a blockbuster, but it feels like an indie movie. It feels like a vacation experience. Everyone behind the scenes was drinking a lot of whatever alcohol they drink in Greece, and they're having a good time. And it is reflected in the film. I don't think it's reflected in here in the sequel, the Here I Go Again, Mamma Mia. Because that did not take place in Greece, that took place in Croatia. And though most of the cast returned, it has a very different vibe to me, so.
I want to touch upon quickly a particular seeing as you mentioned aesthetic and song choices that sort of match the themes that they're going for and such.
Yeah.
To myself, perhaps one of the most memorable parts of this movie is just how perfectly they encapsulated the energy within Lay All Your Love Upon Me. If Pierce Brosnan's voice mildly shocked me, then the scene of Skye and Sophie singing seductively to each other and crawling along the sand to each other. Oh, honey, there was such a, trying to put it in nice words,
Yeah.
a connective energy between them that certainly stirred something in the pit of my stomach when I watched it. And
I
then
yeah.
Sky's boyfriend crawled out of the water and interrupted the whole damn thing.
I do like that. I do like that as a seduction song because it feels almost like a remix of how Lay All Your Love on Me feels on stage when ABBA just does it as a song. It's interesting because the whole time I'm thinking, yes, this is romantic, but God, now there's sand everywhere. I would just be so annoyed by the amount of sand. I'm not really much of a beach person. There's something interesting, though, about making that a duet between young lovers. It's the same thing as Does Your Mother Know, Slipping Through My Fingers as a mother-daughter song, even The Winner Takes It All. Because if you listen to other version of ABBA songs, if you listen to the like Erasure cover of their music, just it's an interesting way to remix it but still honor the source material. And it's part of the fantasy is the idea. Because I mean the fantasy is yes, love, but it could also be yes, but also your international frat brothers can come and scoop you up to go to your bachelor party. That's also a nice fantasy too, at least for me. What's interesting too is that in the ensemble numbers, the amount of ensemble doesn't take away from it. I think Dancing Queen is stronger because it moves from being just the three women in the bedroom and then to the all the women of the island around them. I think Lay All Your Love on Me is strong because it's a great transition. Everyone loves a good jet ski number. It's Bo Derek built a career off of running on the beach, so I'm not mad about it. But yeah, there was a lot of great energy between Dominic Cooper and Amanda Seyfried. She's always been a very competent actress, so she knew how to move her body and she made it work. She understood the assignment, as the children say. So.
Indeed. So we've got a few minutes left. So do you have any additional thoughts, closing thoughts before we wrap up today?
I like Mamma Mia. I kind of wish they hadn't made Here I Go Again, Mamma Mia, because I don't think the sequel serves the plot. And also, there's only so many ABBA songs in existence. I loved the fourth wall breaking Deadpool-esque end credit thing they did with having the Don and the Dynamos come out and having them. If anything is camp, that end credit scene is camp. So.
Yes. I think overall it's just such a perfect little picture. Yes, there's little sort of qualms with it, like the little faults and such, but as adaptions go, as musical films go, it's great. It's certainly one of those things I think you'd struggle not to enjoy if you sat down and watched it. So, yeah, it gets a very nice high score recommendation from me.
Especially right now, if you have an outdoor theater that's playing movies at a pool and they're not playing Jaws, why not suggest Mamma Mia? I think that's a nice change of pace. I think this is kind of the perfect movie to have a drink and to kind of watch by the pool or watch at night, do like a picnic event. This is the kind of thing where you could watch it at home alone. You could turn it into a small event for you and your lover, or you could make it into like a big fun thing where people dress up, as their favorite character, or dress up as just like wearing the Grecian flag. This is the kind of thing where, especially the American promos, turning it into a party really got the vibe of it, is that it's a party. Just like everything here, everything is gay, even the straight stuff. We want to thank you for tuning in
Angel.
to another summer short, and we'll be back next time with another summer short. We have another summer short coming your way. Don't forget to lay all your love on your lover, consensually. And we'll see you
Oh.
next time.
Ta-da, everyone. Bye.
Ta-da!